Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a very special episode of Uncanny Treks, where we nostalgically revisit our time with Jonathan Hickman's Fantastic Four run. That's right, we're covering the John Hickman Sanford Green Doom one-shot that dropped on Wednesday. I'm Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland. Matt, how are you doing this evening?
Man, Bob, it was a giant-sized Doom, and there was a giant-sized Doom in the issue, so I was excited.
Yeah, it lived up to its giant-sized Doom name.
Yeah.
So, Matt, it's co-plotted and scripted by Hickman. We know Hickman. We love Hickman. But then it's penciled and co-plotted by Sanford Green. Do you know him?
I don't have a clue who that is, Bob.
He's a great artist. I believe he's from South Carolina. Black dude. Has a really fun, cartoony art style. I really like his run as the penciler on David Walker's Luke Cage and Iron Fist from maybe about 5-7 years ago. That was a really good comic.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with his work, but it was great in this issue.
Yeah, and a lot of times I think he draws more like grounded kind of cartoony stuff. So him going very cosmic-y and very event comic-y for this was an interesting departure.
Yeah, and he has some very interesting ways of showing the fighting scenes and how a lot of the big battles take place. I enjoyed it. We'll talk about it as we go through.
So, Matt, to open up, were you surprised that it was our dear Valeria from Hickman's Fantastic Four run rescuing Doom? Or that she was talking to Herbie, the computer?
I mean, we know Valeria and Uncle Doom have that strong connection from the Hickman run, so it didn't really surprise me that much to see her the one rescuing Doom or trying to get Doom to, you know. Now, Herbie, on the other hand, he to me is just seems like he's some other Iron Man AI at this point. Like, he's just somebody that talks to her and is in her head. I was more concerned at this point, though, when I first started the issue, like, where is Franklin?
Well, and we do see him later on the splash page with the Future Foundation, right?
Do we? I think we do. Yeah, he is. Is that him or is that someone else? Because I get a lot of those Future Foundation kids look the same to me.
Yeah, that's a concern.
I think you're right. I do believe there is. Because sometimes I think it's a Power Pack kid and sometimes I think it's Franklin or it could be Bentley 13. Sorry, I'm thinking of Ben 10. So that's a nostalgia trip right there.
I never actually watched any of that.
I didn't either, but I think it was around my sister's time, so it was around. It wasn't really a thing we watched, but
It existed. I like the guys who did it, and they apparently have made a lot of money off of it, so I'm happy for them. Okay.
But I think you're right. There's a little blonde kid hanging out with both of them in the Fantastic Four in that panel.
Let's see. I'm looking at the page 17 where they're all... Yeah, I think that is, because I think it's Franklin and Val are at the bottom of the panel in between Reed and Ben.
Okay, that's Franklin as a child. Franklin as an adult ends up being an heir to Galactus, right?
Pretty much. He makes Galactus his herald.
Yeah.
I think the safest assumption would just be that poor Franklin gets killed along with the other heroes.
Yeah.
And it's just pretty grim. And so... as grim as the comic is, in some ways it didn't want to go that grim, and so it downplays it.
Oh, they didn't want Galactus being, you know, a child murderer? Okay. Gotcha.
So, Matt, on a lighter note, did you like Val having the same helmet look that her dad and Xavier do in Hickman comics?
Okay, I didn't catch that at first. I thought it was a spacesuit or something, but it is a very nice detail. I think that's the next step in human-machine evolution, even for us, Bob. All of us are going to be walking around with those helmets on, stuck on our social media, everyone except for you.
Except for me, Matt. Except for me. For page 10 and 11 of this, I was wondering if maybe the joke title for this that Hickman put on the script was Galactus Gone Wild.
I have to admit that I've never seen an issue or comic where Galactus destroys everything. He kills all the heroes I recognize and even the ones I don't. He just strikes out alien races on an entire page. I mean, whole alien race has just gone all dead. And then he starts sparring with Celestials towards the end. I mean, this is cosmic level going on here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Matt, what you're saying is that you've seen Hungry Galactus?
No, Bob, I've seen Hangry Galactus, Bob.
Yeah.
I have very, very Hangry Galactus, and it's on page 13. Perfect illustration of Hangry Galactus.
There's a lot of great Galactus drawings on this. So you get Hangry Galactus on, I think it might be 14 for me, but then on my 15, you've got Galactus like striding forward with explosions all around him and a shadow over his face and his eyes glowing. It's really cool.
Yeah. You ever wonder what it would look like to look up and see Galactus just strolling over your city? I mean, what would you do? Would you run to the basement? What do we need drills for that?
That would be a really good gag to have in a Marvel comic, a Galactus drill on Earth. It's cool, Galactus drill. That would be funny.
Superhuman invasion drill. They need these. We're onto an idea here, Bob. We could put this in print.
Yeah. So on page 17, we get the first of several splash pages, right? And this one's, it's a double page splash, and it's sectioned in a cool way where you have the top left third is the X-Men, the middle third is the Avengers, and then the top right third is the X-Men, the middle third is the Avengers, and the bottom left third is the Fantastic Four and the Future Foundation, which is a very cool look.
Yeah, I mean, you can see Dragon Man, Power Pack, and I think Namor's there as well. So they got everybody in the area for the Fantastic Four group. Strikingly, though, it threw me off because it looked like they had separated the where Submariner is. It looks like that's a separate group, the way it's drawn, but it's not. It's all one big striking piece. Love it.
Yeah. And it's definitely Dragon Man and Namor, and then I think we see one Power Pack girl. And then I think the kid at the top, I think he's one of the Power Pack kids, but he could be Bentley 23. But I think you're right that he's one of the Power Pack kids.
Yeah. You don't get to see them slaughtered, but they were there.
And then who was your favorite character drawn on page 17? Not your favorite character, but just what was your favorite drawing?
I like the Colossus with his beard. Colossus with a beard is fancy. I love that. Colossus always needs a beard.
Yeah.
And then Thor is drawn in this awkward position. I thought it was strange looking at first. It's almost like he's jumping like Batman. Just not used to seeing that.
Usually you see Mjolnir leading Thor, and here it's Thor leading Mjolnir. It's interesting.
Yeah. What about you, Bob?
Oh, man. I think I might go with Dragon Man because he's Supermaning, and that's just a really funny pose for Dragon Man to be Supermaning.
Well, then, Bob, on page 18, we're rewarded with yet another splash page with all kinds of heroes. Once again, different characters from the previous.
Yeah, and do you want to describe what's going on with the panels on this page? Because I think it is interesting and worth noting.
Yeah, there's a big fight going on in the center, but then you have these little square things that were like zoomed in on the characters. I really like the way that's set up. You're not seeing just a bunch of characters all standing in the same scene. They're little fragmented. It's almost like mirrors of each one. They're little monitors, almost, of little people.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. I think on this page, my favorite drawing might be you have Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur in one of these panels, and you have Moon Girl clutching on to Devil Dinosaur's head. It's a very cool image. Yeah.
My favorite is Howard the Duck acting like he's going to do something. Now, Bob,
his duck tongue.
I recognized all these characters except for one. Who is the guy that is to the left of the Silver Samurai?
Is that Jack of Hearts?
I don't know, Bob. I have no clue who he is. You can tell me he's Jack of Hearts and I'll agree with you, but I don't know. I don't know who that is.
Let me see what Jack of Hearts looks like. Yeah, it's Jack of Hearts. He's an obscure Avenger. I don't even know if I've ever actually read an Avengers comic with him in it.
Okay, so I don't feel so bad then. Okay, thank goodness. Because I was really priding myself on going through all that. I'm like, I know who that is. I know that one. I knew everybody on that page except for that one character.
Let me test you on one hard one. Do you know who that is right above Ms. Marvel?
Let's see. Ms. Marvel, where are you?
Below Miles Morales.
Well, Ms. Marvel, here we go.
Below Galactus's mouth. If you go from Galactus's mouth down. You see
the guy with the stretchy arm. I've read from this. See, I can't remember the character's name, but I've seen him before, and I remember there being an action figure.
I'm pretty sure. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's Machine Man.
Yes. Okay. I've seen this guy before, so I gave myself credit for that one. So I was like, I knew this person exists. I've seen them in something. Because I remember the arms and the way the head looks and everything. Yeah.
And then one I'm not sure about. Do you know... Is that Speedball above Thor's forearm?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Yes, that is Speedball right there. Yep. And there's Sunfire over there on the right, correct?
Yeah, that's it was cool to see Sunfire.
Psylocke in the upper corner there. Taskmaster. Man-Thing. Captain Britain.
Are you saying that Psylocke above Taskmaster?
No, Psylocke's above Sunfire. That face.
That's Aurora. That's North Star's sister.
Oh, the arm. I didn't see the arm.
Yeah,
sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you artist drawing all these characters, sticking the arms in random places.
And then I think above Taskmaster, is that Jocasta? The android from the Avengers who have not read much.
That's Jocasta. And the
Jubilee's got the bubble gum popping.
Yeah, of course, Bob. She has to have the bubble gum popping. She's about to die. That's her thing. We got MODOK down there.
Oh, actually, what, Matt? Okay. The woman to the right of Juggernaut and above Power Man and Iron Fist.
Yeah.
For a minute, I was thinking that was Aurora, but looking at it more, I think it's Monica Rambeau.
Yeah, that's Monica Rambeau. You think it's the star on her chest?
Yeah. But that same sort of black and white patterning as Aurora.
And if you look really, really close, Wolverine's the first one to reach Galactus.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He's right above Machine Man's arms. I didn't see that at all. That's cool.
That's probably the easiest Wolverine drawing he's ever had to do.
I really like Spider-Gwen up top on the left.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And then I think that's Stingray right above Mjolnir.
Yes, that is Stingray. There's a flaming dude. I'm assuming that is the Human Torch, but it could be a number of characters.
Where's the flaming dude at?
Right above Miles Morales. That could be a number of people.
The black flame is Sunspot. I don't think that would be Human Torch. Maybe that would be... Oh, that's hard to say.
Yeah, you can't tell. There's not enough detail in it. But I love the blade. The blade is drawn really well over in the left-hand corner.
Oh, blade's drawn... Yeah, great. You know, it actually might be Frankie Ray, Nova, that kind of female Human Torch. I think that's... It doesn't look like how the Human Torch's flame is usually drawn, but it does look like, I think, her...
You also got Ghost Rider there, but I can't tell if he's riding something or not.
He's on the hood of his car because that's Robbie Ray.
Oh, there's the car.
Ghost Rider.
The detail that went into this is amazing. There's a car.
It's really cool, man. Props to Green. He drew the crap out of this.
Yeah, like I would love, like the poster of this would be fantastic.
I guess my last one, I'll shout out in the towards the middle on the left side, you got Shang-Chi. I always like to see Shang-Chi.
Yeah, it's always good to include Shang-Chi in there. Even though his movie bombed.
Poor guy. Yeah. Poor guy. All right, Matt, what's up next? Oh, yeah. On page 20, we get what's maybe my favorite line of the entire comic, which is Valeria talking to Doom. And, oh, you know me, Uncle. I was never seduced by the short-term satisfaction of victory. I've always been more interested in survival, just like you. To which Doom replies, no, Valeria. Doom does not survive. Doom endures.
Doom always endures.
So... I think this is the last time we're going to pick a favorite character on the splash page. But on page 21, you get the more cosmic characters going at Galactus. So you see some Guardians of the Galaxy, the Shi'ar Imperial Guard, the Inhumans, the Starjammers. Who is your favorite on this big splash page on 21, Matt?
All right, Bob. I got to give props because I see my boy. If you look really close in front of Gamora, you can see my man Raza. About to hit Galactus with a rapier right there.
Yeah, he's going for it. You'll love to see it.
They even got his hair sticking up. You see it? It looks like smoke, but it's his hair.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's really cool, man. I really like Beta Ray Bill, also known as Horse Thor. And I always like when Beta Ray Bill's kind of skull horse head is drawn to look like his hammer Stormbreaker. And so you have Stormbreaker like right above Beta Ray Bill's head, and he's about to bring it down on Galactus. It's so cool.
And you've also got all the Inhumans on this page. You've got all the Guardians of the Galaxy. Who else? There's Corsair and the Starjammers.
Not all of them, because you have a few of the more overpowered Guardians on a later page.
Well, yeah, but you got the ones from the movie.
The more iconic ones.
Yeah, you got all the ones from the film that people actually
know.
Is that Lorandra flying by Galactus's right hand? Looking towards, Galactus is looking at you, his right side, next to Star-Lord. Is that Lalandra flying?
Oh, yeah. It might be Lalandra, but it also might be the new Empress of the Shi'ar, who's Lalandra and Charles's daughter, whose name I forget. She's drawn a little smaller.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah, a lot of detail on this one, too. Jeez.
I like my man right above Raza. We got my man Karnak going. Yeah, Raza's going with his rapiers. Karnak's just going with his bare hands because he's awesome.
He's just
going
to smack him.
Hey, man, he sees the flaw in everything. Oh man, that's very cool. On page 22, we have Galactus versus some of his former heralds and the Kree and the Skrull, and then we have some of the more overpowered Guardians of the Galaxy attacking on that page.
Yeah, I feel like future Franklin should have been part of this lineup, but I don't see him.
Yeah, but it is a little bit of a sad missed opportunity to not have Franklin be, why has my herald betrayed me?
And it was at this point where I texted Bob and was, I pretty much know all of these from the Fantastic Four that I had no clue of like a year ago. With the ex Who is the lady at the bottom, the bald person? That's the only person I don't think I know.
Moondragon.
Moon.
She's a more obscure Guardian of the Galaxy
Okay.
character.
Most of the others, I'm pretty sure I've seen these characters somewhere in some sort of
The one
Fantastic
I
Four meeting.
want to really stress, who I think looks awesome, is I love how Green draws Silver Surfer's board. That looks so cool with the thin blade coming down on the
Yeah,
bottom.
you got to have the fin blade at the bottom, Bob. How else is he going to catch the air in space?
Exactly. It's a very important part to his whole cosmic surfing
You
thing.
got Ronan the Accuser down there with his big ass mallet thing. You got, I can't remember his name, but he's got that axe. He's over there about to slice his
Terax.
Terax there. How can I forget that? His name's Terax, that axe, yeah. Is that, that's Dormammu, right? Is that who I'm seeing?
I
Or is that
don't
some
think
other
it's
Firehead guy?
Dormammu. Oh, that's Cosmic Ghost Rider, aka
Oh, that's when he's on a motorcycle.
Frank Castle from another direct dimension, who's Ghost
And he even
Rider.
pointed the shit out because he's got him on a motorcycle. Well, I've got to learn to put context clues together here. Thank you. Okay, gotcha. But I mean, overall, you got Adam Warlock. What looks like a Super Skrull, I believe.
The Super Skrull, Annihilus, Blastar.
Fire.
Actually, you got Fire
Yeah, Fire Lord,
Lord.
yeah.
You have, actually, I think you have Frankie Ray Nova here. I think that's her. I'm not totally sure, but I think that's her. So I'm not sure who the light person was on the prior page. That's just me.
All right, Bob, let's keep going.
All right. So the big Doom armor, Matt. You want to talk about some big
Yeah,
Doom
Bob,
armor?
Doom gets some crazy armor here. I'm telling you. Where do they come up with this? Do you dig the armor? Do you like it?
It's not my favorite, but I appreciate what it's doing in context. It's cool in
Yeah, I
context.
mean, it doesn't look amazing, but at the same time, it's just to put it on. He has to drink Super Soldier Serum mixed with Celestial Blood. That alone is that's some crazy right there. And then his armor's actually made of Uru, which is what Thor's hammer is made of, right? That type of metal comes from the heart of a dying star. So,
That's where Odin and the dwarves get it
yeah.
from, baby.
And then you got vibranium, which we all know is the best metal you can get on Earth. And then you don't have not one, not two, but you have three cosmic cubes to power this armor. I mean, come on.
Then you think it can't get any more epic, and then on page 25, the Celestials, the Jack Kirby gods show up, and it's so cool.
I mean, this is the ultimate stuff here. He's going up against gods, and
Yeah.
Galactus is just going to be
And
like,
Galactus already basically is God, and yeah, it's God versus gods.
yeah. I'm at the point in the Fraction X-Men run where there's a Celestial standing in the middle of San Francisco in a park on top of the blood samples that the X Club collected when they went back in the future, Back to the Future style type stuff.
I like the Celestial in the park in that run, and Gillen does some interesting things with it in his Uncanny run. But that said, don't really expect it to pay off, sadly.
I wonder because it seems like it's already gone. I'm already way past it and they haven't brought it back up again. So I'm wondering when they're going to come back to it.
Gillen will come back to it a little, but he doesn't really resolve it, if I'm remembering correctly. And there was a Eternals mini series around that same time, but honestly, the first two issues are so boring, I didn't keep going.
And there's this one Celestial in the center here in this picture who's sticking his hands out. Come at me, bro. I like that guy. These guys have names, I'm sure, but I'm just going to call them
They do
Celestials.
have names, but I don't actually know them. I can never remember celestial names.
Yeah. So I was good to get in the Celestials part. Now, Bob, in a minute.
I do want to just make one celestial call. So we have the big splash page on 25,
Right.
but it's a really cool gag that the top panel on 26 is the celestial doing the iconic thumb stick. It's a really cool transition.
It's like, you're going to hell, dude. We're gonna
Yeah.
get you. Of course, Galactus makes he pretty much tears them up and goes after their machine, which the universe killer, which I don't know why the hell you would make a machine like that, but whatever.
Sometimes you gotta. So on page 29, if I'm understanding this correctly, and I may not be, we're having three different multiversal versions of the Molecule Man, who's an old, like, omnipotent Fantastic Four villain. And he didn't show up in the Fantastic Four run, right? The Hickman run that we read.
Right. When I got to this part of the comic, I was lost. I don't know who these people are, but they're pretty powerful.
I think it's three different multiversal versions of the same guy. He does show up in the Hickman Avengers run, and he's important but minor in that run, if that makes sense.
Is he more powerful than the Celestials?
Well, I think the Celestials have more raw power, but I think Molecule Man, like Franklin, has reality-shaping powers.
Okay, so crazy godlike powers. Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to ask you at the end, Matt, so we get captions at the end, and I wasn't totally sure how to take them. Like, it might be a couple of these, it might be all of these, it might be none of these. But you could see the captions at the end as Doom talking to Valeria as he dies. Because the implication seems to be that Valeria sent her uncle on a suicide mission to save the universe.
Right.
Tell him.
Yeah.
And so it could be Doom talking to Valeria before he dies. It could be Doom just thinking right before he dies. Or it could be an omniscient narrator. Or it could be Val thinking about betraying her uncle. I'm not really sure how to take
it. So the way I read it is it's Doom's inner monologue talking to himself. Because it's in the black text boxes, but they aren't coming out.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. So it's Valeria and Doom. But yeah, so you think it's just him talking to himself and not him talking to Valeria?
Yes. And of course, he still speaks in the third person, referring to himself. These are the last words of Doom, referring to himself. So I think he's just thinking to himself. I don't think he's actually saying these words.
Yeah.
A voiceover if this was a movie.
Yeah. But he is using a lot of second person, which doesn't mean he's not talking to himself, but maybe he is talking to Valeria, but it doesn't necessarily mean that for sure.
Though. Yeah, I don't know. But regardless, pretty strong words here, Bob.
Pretty strong words.
Quite the cosmic tell. Jesus.
Yeah, I really do think Hickman is very good at writing these open-ended endings that are still very emotional. He did it in Inferno too. If I remember the last lines of Inferno, I think it's "We're trapped in here forever." It's a lot darker than the FF run, both this and Inferno. But I don't know. There's a pun in the name of the comic, right? That it's about Dr. Doom, but it's also about facing death, facing the end. And I don't know. It hits me a lot. I don't know if that's just because we're older than we were when the Fantastic Four run came out, and Hickman's older. Or I don't know, it's just that the world is demonstrably worse 10 years later. But yeah, it's not looking super likely humans are going to survive this century, so I don't know.
Galactus is going to eat us.
Yeah. And by Galactus, I mean Joe Biden in a senile fit is going to launch nuclear weapons. Or Trump in a senile fit of rage is going to launch nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Well, I will say, Bob, I agree with you. Hickman does write these epic cosmic stories so well. He doesn't waste time showing you everything that happens in full detail, which is okay, because he leaves some of it up to interpretation. It gives you a chance to fill in the missing pieces, all these battles that you could have gone into detail with and shown the X-Men getting slayed one by one. He doesn't do that.
Yeah.
He just implies this is what happened. Galactus murdered all.
Yeah.
You just skip, and you can fill in the blanks in your own mind. Some writers just go into so like little details that I think that he tells you how the universe is going to be destroyed from the normal beginnings all the way to the explosive piece. And this is, what, 51 pages? I mean, come on. That's amazing to be able to tell that story that at that pace and really make it have an emotional impact by the end.
Well, there is something about Hickman that where you say it's, on one hand, the man likes his charts. He likes his graphs. He likes to map things out in very neat patterns and very neat symmetries, right?
Right.
But on the other hand, you say there's a willingness. And I think this is one of the reasons that I think Hickman and Morrison, for all their differences, they are pretty similar. Is that they're both, you say, willing to be open-ended, willing to imply stuff, willing to skip over either things they don't want to show or things that they think would need to happen but wouldn't be the emotion and the visuals you want for the particular issue. And that tension between men's need to show, explain, diagram versus willing to skip over and just be more poetic, I think it is a really interesting tension in his work that I like a lot.
That's why Hickman is so successful with his writing.
I started to worry about Hickman a little just because his two most recent Marvel projects, I haven't tried Ultimate Spider-Man yet, but his Gods miniseries, which I was really looking forward to, and then the Ultimate Invasion. I just didn't really dig either of them that much, man. I only did maybe two issues of Gods. Well, someday I'll go back and read the whole thing. Maybe my opinion will change or I'll appreciate it more. But yeah, Gods and Ultimate Invasion weren't really doing it for me. And so to see this, it's to be, yeah, no, Hickman still got it, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All writers are going to have hits and misses. Some of it's going to be good. Some of it's not going to be great. Hickman overall, most of his whole body, if you look at his whole body of work, most of it's pretty good. I mean, it's stuff that you can really get into.
Yeah.
I mean,
I still haven't read one I would call like straight up bad. Gods was just, I don't know, maybe Gods was the closest. It just wasn't really to my taste. But like I said, I also allow that in, you know, 5 years, I might find something in it.
Right. That's the great thing about comics, too. Reading them now as someone who's approaching 40, completely different perspective.
Well, that was the big example to that of me, for me, is when I watched The Sopranos in my 20s, and I didn't watch all of it, but I watched like 3 or 4 seasons. I was mostly watching for the mob stuff.
Yeah.
And then when I rewatched The Sopranos and finished The Sopranos in my late 30s during the pandemic, I was, oh, no, the family stuff hit for me. In the late 30s, in a way, no, in my 20s, I was just looking for a mob story.
Right, yeah. It's interesting.
Well, I think I already said my favorite page and my favorite line. Matt, did you want to hit us with your favorite page and line?
Yeah, my favorite page is definitely that splash page of page 18. Let's say we could turn it into a poster. Just those panels that are zoomed in on those characters' faces and their expressions. You know, while they think they're going to have this epic battle and defeat Galactus, I mean, they have no chance in hell. I guess it's Galactus is going to conquer. And then my favorite line, Bob, is Valeria. She says, "You were always good to me. You protected me. You looked after me. I just want you to know I love you for it." She's saying that to her Uncle Doom. I mean, that's poetry, Bob. It's beautiful.
Very sweet. Very sweet. Yeah, man. Val and Doom, one of the best relationships in comics. Love it so much. All right. Well, this has been fun. Good to get one more entry into our Hickman Fantastic Four thing. Where would you want to rank this on our comics list, Matt?
Oh, man. I would put this... Oh, shoot. I got to look at the list, Bob.
Yeah, me too. I think it's just Hickman Ethos and Werewolf by Night, if I remember
right. Yeah, I think you are right. So if I had to give it a rank, Bob, I would rank this below Hickman's FF, but above Werewolf by Night. We need to get a couple more episodes under our belt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the sad thing about it. If we do Hickman's next, it's going
to be... Let's just rank Hickman's
all Hickman list. Yeah. I'll go with you, although a part of me wants to say that I appreciate the concentration of Doom a little more than I do of Hickman's Fantastic Four run, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think you're right that even though the concentration is an advantage, there is just so much more going on in Fantastic Four by Hickman.
The only real characterization you're getting here, or character development you're getting, is Doom and Valeria. And kind of Galactus. Whereas with the FF, I mean, you're getting all those characters, all those different things going on. It's just, there's a lot more involvement to it.
I do like that we have 2 one-shots on here. We have Werewolf by Night and Doom. Marvel should keep putting out these one-shots. I'm enjoying them.
Oh, yeah. It's nice to get an entire story in one issue as opposed to having to collect and go week to week.
Yeah. Well, that's also, like, I feel like it's just hard to be a comics review podcast because I really want to review things when they're done so you can actually say things about how they've evolved, right?
Right.
But I feel the impulse in comics media is so much you talk about them when they start and then you just don't talk about them after the second issue.
Yeah, and that's not very, it's not very good coverage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh well. Are you still leaning to us doing the John Hickman Avengers as a lead up to the Avengers Alien crossover?
Yeah, sure. That sounds great.
All right. Cool. So much Hickman, but yeah, I mean, when else is it gonna make sense to do his Avengers run with this Alien thing coming out? All right. Well, this has been Uncanny Treks covering the one-shot Doom by Sanford Green and John Hickman. Great comic. Really love to see these two guys cooking. I'm Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland. Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.